Today I want to talk to you about bringing dead things to life. We're going to get y'all speaking something. A lot of you are shy. I've already taken all the shyness out of there, okay? You can't be shy. There's only one person that can be shy up here. Remember, last week we talked about, you know, for God to not give you spirit of fear, right? So we got to be able to speak these things over our lives and be able to receive what God has already had for you. Enemy loves nothing more than to, he wants you occupied on things going on in your life. He wants you focused on those things, distracted from the word. You ever gotten to the place to where you tried to read the word and you just couldn't? I mean, it's just, okay, two scriptures and you're bored. I mean, it's like you're thinking on something else. Is it just me?
No, I
agree. Yeah, right? But he wants you thinking on those things so you're not focused on what you can use in your life, things and words that can bring you comfort, closure, things that you can speak over your life in order to turn your situation around. He wants you distracted on the problem, right? He wants you to say what you see with your natural eye. He wants you to proclaim the dead things in your life so that you can continue to have the dead things going on in your life. Well, I just got a headache, okay? This relationship isn't working, okay? I want a divorce, okay? Keep speaking that. See where you end up. I don't want to be with you anymore. Keep speaking it. You're just no good. You know, you can change, wives, you can change the dynamic of your husband's life after he has a horrible day. Certain things come on. You can ridicule him or you can bless him with your words. Your man could be the most successful man in the city. It's dependent upon your words spoken over him at that time of defeat. Think about that. It's easy to say what we want to see, or basically on what we see, but it's a lot more difficult to say what it is that we want to see happen in their life. The enemy gets you thinking, how can I keep them occupied and focused on their problem, looking at all the distractions that I throw at them? He's walking around throughout the earth looking for someone to bully. I hate bullies. Waiting for the right moment to accuse you to God so he can have his way with you. Your confession plays a big role in your life. Your confession plays a big role in your life, but many have abandoned this simple principle. You got to release your faith. 2 Kings, if you got your Bibles, open up to 2 Kings chapter 4. This is a lot of scripture here, so bear with me. It says, one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. Now here's this woman, a wealthy woman, wanting to help out a man of God. That's so good. She could be doing other things in her life. And she noticed that this man was coming into town time after time, and she wanted to help him. She wanted to feed him. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. Who told her to do this? She just kind of had that unction on the inside to do this, to bless this man. What this woman wanted to be was a blessing to him. So if there's a lesson there, you want to be a blessing to other people, you're going to look for ways to bless them. If you want to be a nuisance, you're going to look for ways to be a nuisance. Okay? You're giving out what's already on the inside of you. Verse 11, it says, one day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, Elijah said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king, to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied. "My family takes good care of me." I ask you a question. What are you wanting God to do in your life right now? Have you ever stopped to ask him that? I think sometimes we can get so caught up in life, we don't ever ask, "God, what are you wanting to do in my life? Or this is what I'm wanting. This is what I'm needing." And he knows what you need before you even ask. But have you even asked him? She was well taken care of. She wasn't looking at her problems because she was content with what she had going on in her life. That contentment is so good. Godliness with contentment. It's a good thing. And yet, here's this man of God that wants to bless her. He says, later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried, "old man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." She never asked for a child. But because of her hospitality, because of her wanting to bless this man of God, Elijah wanted to bless her with a child. Has God ever blessed you with something you never asked for? Isn't that good? Why? Because you were content. You were just going on about your business and something happened. Some of y'all may be thinking that your well is all dried up, but what are you talking about today? We got to bring dead things to life. Dead things to life. It's easy to move on to something else because that's exactly what our culture does. Wears it down, throws it away. Let's get something new. No room for the works of God to be revealed through his children. Verse 18, one day when her child was older, he went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." This is the child doing this. His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime he died. Now his father could have done something there. Now send him on home. Man, we don't want to be like that. We're men of God. See, I'm not only a man of God, you are men of God. You are women of God. See, but yet this father didn't really have a clue. She was a woman that believed in this man of God. I truly believe if she knew what we know today, she would have been able to speak over that child's life like that. If she had the authority that we have, she would have been able to do that. That wouldn't have been a problem. Verse 21, it says, she carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." I don't think this father knew that his son had died. He was clueless. Gotta work. Man, it's important to know what's going on in your house. Your children, it's not being nosy, it's just being protective. She refused to speak death in her situation. She could have basically lost it right there. And she chose not to. She wanted to go see that man of God. I just believe that we have backed down from that because here in this great nation, we have so much. We're blessed. We are a blessed nation. We have so much. And we can just maneuver in the natural and make things work for us and not even miss a beat. And not one time did we ever, okay, I'm trusting in the Lord. It could be I'm just trusting in my own abilities. And we can probably get it done and get some good results. But is it really God moving through us? Right? Verse 23 says, "Why go today?" he asked. it is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath. But she said, it will be all right. Why go? There's no special conference going on. They don't have no revival. People are acting like God only works on Sundays. It's not Wednesday night. Come on. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elijah saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. All is well. Again, she could have spoke something negative right there. My son died. I blame you. I blame everyone else. This is horrible. I don't get this. Then she said, did I ask you for a son? Did I read verse 27 yet? It says, but when she came to the man of God of the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Even though she was in faith to believe a miracle, you could still see the pain that was going through her right there. You can still see the pain. I didn't ask for all this. I was content in my life. Why did you bring this on? She couldn't tell her husband what was going on because he wouldn't have understood. I got an unbelieving husband. Then Elijah said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. It's basically tucking your robe. It's hanging off. Tuck it into your belt and run. Run to that house. And the mother didn't want that. She didn't want Gehazi to come. She asked for Elisha, the man of God. She didn't come that far just to have Gehazi go and help her. She wanted the man of God, the prophet of God, the one who told her she would have a child. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha returned with her. You need to know your rights. Once you understand your rights, it kind of makes you mad. Like, you know, I could have been benefiting from this all this time, and I've been barely getting by, and yet Jesus died for this. Jesus bore this in his body so that I wouldn't have to. Are you kidding me? You mean I have been putting up with this stuff all this time? Kind of makes you mad. And he did it over 2,000 years ago? You don't have to beat yourself up over it. God never gave up on you. Once you know your rights, speak them over your life boldly. And yes, let Satan hear it. I got to be quiet about my prayers. No, you don't. Pray boldly. Speak it loudly. When I'm the only one at the house, I'm talking. Christian's like, you talk when I'm at the house. She'd be like, I hear you talking again. Speak it boldly. The word of God being spoken out of your mouth. Verse 31, it says, Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elijah and told him the child was still dead. Elisha. He didn't get all worried about it. He wasn't all concerned. He didn't speak anything negative coming out of his mouth. He didn't say what was going on. When Elijah arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone, shut the door behind him, and prayed to the Lord. Elijah prayed to the Lord. Prayed to who? To the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He didn't complain to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He wasn't worried about it. He didn't bring the child out and pretend that he was alive and walked around with him. Hey, look, he's alive. He prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Father. So when in doubt, pray. Be quick to listen to what the Lord is telling you. Then he says, then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands, and he stretched out on them. The child's body began to grow warm again. Elijah got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and he then stretched himself out on the child again. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Are you willing to do it again? Lord, I prayed for this individual over here. I spoke life over him, but nothing happened. Did you do it again? Jesus did it again with the blind man. He did it twice. This is Jesus. And he says, what do you see? I see trees, men like trees. Put his hands over him again and pray for him. Don't think that, oh, all right, one time. No, do it until it manifests. I remember there's somebody listening to someone years ago. He said, man, I prayed for over 400 and some people, and not one of them got healed until after the 400th. And then it's just, poof, just took off. He never stopped. Why? Because it's got to work. If there's something not working, it may be us. There may be a disconnect. It isn't because God is saying, nope, I ain't going to do it anymore. It's Monday. That ran out at 11:59 Sunday night. Well, it's the Passover. It's the only time I can. It's not. 24/7, 365. And in this year, 366. His power works. His word works. Then Elijah summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, he said, and when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. She fell at his feet, bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Death and life are where? Are you sure? Death and life are in the tongue? The power of the tongue. The Passion Translation says this. That's the new translation. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Give me the Passion Translation if you have that. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. Now, last week I called it the Black version. That was just my version. People trying to find out where I got that from. That was just from me. I call it it's the TBV version, the brother's version. Sanctify it up a little bit. It says, keep on playing when it comes to what you say and believe. Then watch what happens. Your words can bring dead things to life, but don't be fooled. It can also destroy everything good that you got going on in your life. So there's no need to complain about what's going on. Go ahead, pull up a chair and get your grub on. Why? You spoke it. Get your grub on. Get your little bib. Put your napkin there. Eat up. Why? That's what you spoke out. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Are y'all just thinking about the negative things when we say that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, but most times we just think death. Life. Pull up a chair and enjoy. Why? You've been speaking life. Enjoy that meal. Enjoy the harvest. Why? You've been speaking life. But if you've been speaking death, change it up and start beginning speaking life. You will have what you. So why are we just focused on the death part? Get your grub on. Why? You've been speaking life. With the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, confession is made and is saved. I get it. It's easy to just want to sit back and just not say anything and just hope for the best. Well, there's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. You just got to know the difference. Again, niceness will tolerate things and you won't say anything. You just try to get along with everyone. You'll try to get along with the devil. Don't ever get along with the devil. Make the devil uncomfortable. Be a nuisance to him. And the way you be a nuisance to him is by speaking the word. He doesn't like it. He may take what you say and twist it, but you continue with the word. And we always quote Proverbs 18:21. It says this, but Proverbs 18:20 says this, sharing your words of wisdom is satisfying to your inner being. It encourages you to know that you've changed someone else's life. Your words are so powerful that they would kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. It's encouraging to know that you've changed someone else's life by what? Sharing words of wisdom, sharing the word of God. TBV version of that. If you want to heal what's broken on the inside of you, share God's word with people. What you sow will always come back to you as a harvest. No man is above that. I don't care who they are. You're not above the laws of sowing and reaping. So sow life. Sow good works. Sow love. You know, if you can't get caught up, I said people get caught up. The Bible says in the last days, and even in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says in the last days people will be lovers of themselves. If you're not feeling loved, I want you to focus on all the people that are actually loving you rather than the ones that aren't. Because if you're more focused on the ones that aren't, then you're kind of being a lover of your, well, they're not loving me. They're not walking in love. They're not in forgiveness. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. Well, why don't you focus on the ones that are? Because if they're not doing that to you, then what have you been sowing? Because you reap what you... God sees our heart. He knows whether or not we're being fake. If you've been sowing fake love, you're going to get it. If you've been sowing as if you like somebody else, they're going to sow that right back. I'm just not feeling love. You know what I've learned over the years? Some people rather be feared than loved. Because you can get what you want out of people when they fear you. They don't want to be loved. They can say that. But they would rather be feared. If you want love, you gotta sow it. Come on. Don't shout me down. Seriously, we can't fake that. And God is the one who gives us that harvest. He brings that. He knows whether or not I know so-and-so over here. Says, man, it just seems like everybody just loves this person. Now, especially not the evil, but even his enemies are at peace with them because they're just sowing my genuine love that I've given them. But if we want to be fake with people, we can't cry and complain. No need to complain. We're just going to have to sit down, pull up a chair, and get our grub on. Because it's what we're sowing. No man is above that law. None. God exalts his word above his own name. How are we going to put ourselves above that spiritual law right there of confession? No one can. We all live by it. Whether we know that or not, you do live by that. Say what you want to see. It might reduce your words in half throughout the day if you say what you want to see rather than you saying what you're seeing. When you say what you see, you're going to speak a whole lot more. When you say what you want, you're going to be quiet. half of the day. Wait, why are they so quiet? Are they shy? No. They spoke out everything they needed to speak out today. What? These were words of affirmation. These were positive words. These were God's words over everybody else's life and over their life. We'll talk a whole lot more when we're saying what we're seeing. But God wants us to say what we want to see. And what you want to see is what Jesus has already provided for you. John Mason said this, "Your words are like nitroglycerin. They can blow up bridges or heal hearts." Think about that one. Life or death. You could blow up a bridge. You could blow up a bridge in a business deal or in a relationship, or you can heal the hearts. And whatever dead things that God may have put in your life, like, okay, that needs to die in your life, don't try to resurrect that. Okay, well, Pastor Tim said we're supposed to be bringing dead things to life. No, not everything. Let's not get crazy on that. Not everything. No, if that thing is dead, that old habit is dead, let it be dead. Kill it. Cut it off with the sword, okay? The word of God. Double-edged sword. But there are some things, if your marriage is dead, your relationships are dead, speak the word. Speak the word. Your organs are failing, speak the word. You know, God got new parts up in heaven for you, waiting on you. If one of them stops working, guess what? He's got another one there for you. Why? Because he formed you. He knitted you. He made spare parts for you. You don't necessarily have to get a prosthetic limb. He can grow it out. That's the power of God. And we got to get back to that because, again, it's natural. If we got the money, we'll do it. If we have the money, we will do it. But all it requires is faith in Jesus. That's a whole lot better. Jesus restored a man's hand because he brought that shriveled up thing. And can you imagine him trying to do the mashed potatoes and that old nasty. Can you get your hand out of that, please? That's all shriveled up. He grew it out. You know what? Evil people got mad at him for that. He brings dead things to life. Why? Speaking it. Well, my child has this thing going on, this disorder. So what? Speak life into that dead situation. Again, we live in a great world. We live in a great nation where we can have the stuff going on. They have autism or what have you. I'm not making fun of anything, but God can heal that too. And all he requires is us is to believe in him. We can get used to that. But we should want what he wants for us. Bringing dead things to life. So what's dead in your life? What are you just frustrated with? That you know it should be this way, but it's not. And you're just tolerating it. You're just being nice about it. And I understand everything's got to be done in God's timing. But what are you so frustrated about? Hmm. else should be smiling. Lord, I prayed, and it still didn't work. It works when you believe. You say it, you believe it. God is the one who's going to bring that result. You do your part, he'll do his. He's already done his. You just have to do your part. And you can't have somebody else say it for you. You have to say it. Because he lives and abides in you. Do I need to call the man of God? Do I need to call Pastor Tim? You are a man of God. You are a child of God. You have that authority. You have that power. It's on the inside of you. And don't you ever think anything less than that. Would I come? I'll come in a heartbeat. But I want to hear your testimony on what God had done through you. I don't have to take all the credit. I will come in a heartbeat. You need me? I'll come. Just call Kristen. She'll talk to me. And then she'll be like, you don't answer your phone. I said, not all the time. Some of the time I do. But I think sometimes we get to that place where we think we're not good enough. You know, Jesus made you good enough. Come on. How many of you men pray over your meals at home? If you don't, start. When you sit down with your family, start. It don't matter, Lord. Thank you for this food. Amen. You're giving thanks. Simple, sweet, short to the point. That's how I like it. But do you mean it? Absolutely. It starts there. Starts at your table. Starts when you get up in the morning. When you're on your way to work. Are you praying for your wife when you're going to work? If she's going to work, are you praying for her on the highways or whatever, wherever she's traveling? I said, are you doing that? I said, take the time out your day and do that. Stop what you're doing and just take the time out your day to do that. Speak life. She come home, oh, I just had the best day today. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You don't have to say anything. And then later on say, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Speak the word. So either you're going to blow up bridges or you're going to heal hearts. That choice is yours. But when you speak words of wisdom, as it says in Proverbs 18:20, you begin to heal what's on the inside of you because you reap what you spiritual law. Amen? So pull up a chair and get your grub on. Why? Because the words you've been speaking have been life, not death. Okay? If it's been death and it tastes a little bitter and sour or what have you, change it up. Change it up. That's your choice. If you like what you're eating, go right ahead. I don't know about you, but I don't like burnt ribs. They got to be nice and tender. I mean, just to the bite, fall off the bone. Just, it's good stuff. Nice brisket. Tri-tip. I haven't had tri-tip in a while. Need to go get that. We need to get my man back, Ty, and he hooked me up for some tri-tip. I missed that. Yes, ma'am. So seriously, think about it. I say, if y'all ain't got nothing dead in your life, that's good. But if there is something, speak to it and command it. And don't back down. No matter how the situation looks, don't you dare back down because it is your right according to the word of God. It is your right. And a lot of times we will settle. And I'm done settling. God wants you to have the best of the best of the best. And the enemy wants you to have less than what you've been given. Oh, my relationship with God is up and down. Nah, it could just be smooth sailing. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that whatever we have going on, you have given us the ability to be able to speak your word and speak what you have spoken to us over our situations and in the life of our families, our spouses, and our friends. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here. We thank you for new life. New life in every believer here. And as they open up their mouth in faith and speak your word, we believe that they will receive what they have prayed for and believed for. And if they are in unforgiveness, Lord, we ask that you help them to forgive those who may have trespassed against them. And Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.